organizing. It's getting through these barriers today that will release spiritual power. Friends, we're fighting a spiritual battle today.
Welcome to Through the Bible. That was our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee, with a reminder of the spiritual battle we face and the only power we have to get through it. We're continuing in our 5-year journey through God's Word. Today, we're in the book of Daniel. Now, over the last several weeks, we've learned that this Old Testament book can be divided into two parts. The first part is biographical, studying the man, and then the second half explores the prophetic insights that God gave to Daniel about the future. In this study, we'll discover a great lesson on the power of prayer in the man and woman of God, specifically how prayer is our connection to the Word of God and our battle in spiritual realms that are far beyond our ability to fight. So if you have your Bible ready, turn to Daniel chapter 10, beginning at verse 10. But before we dive in, we've got just enough time for a quick letter from a fellow passenger on the Bible bus named John in Hollister, California. I grew up in a devout but ritualistic church. In college, I had what I thought was an open mind, and I wandered in the flesh and eventually into New Age doctrines. The Lord never gave up on me and would never let me go too far to return. Somehow, He led me to leave college and come back home. It was in the 60s, and I think I focused too much on myself. During that time, I took a job as a gardener at a college, and to pass the time, I would listen to the radio while pulling weeds in a parking lot. One day, I happened to hear Through the Bible and became immediately attracted to the simple, sincere teaching of Dr. McGee. The rest is a long story, but this powerful Bible teaching brought me back to a saving relationship with Jesus Christ and gave me a very peaceful heart. For 45 years, my wife and I have led Bible studies, leaning very heavily on Dr. McGee's commentaries. We are members of the World Prayer Team. All right. And we really appreciate hearing the letters and notes that you read. I appreciate the podcast so that I can keep up with the programs, even though I have listened to it for 9 trips. I still learn so much every time and try to read the Word before each program. May God richly bless you all. Well, thanks so much for that email, John. It's great to hear from you. And what's your story? Well, we'd certainly love to hear how our time in God's Word is changing and challenging you, just like it did for John over these many years. You can email us at BibleBus@ttb.org or send your note to Box 7100, Pasadena, California, 91109, or in Canada, Box 25325, London, Ontario, N6C6B1. Let's pray. Father, please use your living and active Word to turn our hearts and minds to Jesus. He's our only hope, our only comfort, and our only way in life. We ask and pray this in His precious name. Amen. Now here's Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Our friends, last time we got into the first 10 verses of this 10th chapter of the book of Daniel, and we saw Daniel was given a great, wonderful vision at this particular time. This man had been in prayer, actually, for 3 weeks. And he had received no answer, and that was unusual for Daniel, because Daniel generally got answers to his prayers right away. And 3 weeks went by, and he received no answer. But in the meantime, the Lord compensated for it by giving him a vision of Himself. And we have indicated that we believe that he was given a vision of the post-incarnate Christ, not pre-incarnate. I think that he was given the first view of the Mount of Transfiguration here of this glorious person. It's always been difficult to identify this one. The vision now is over, and after 3 weeks, why, Daniel receives an answer to his prayer. And as we've said, Daniel's a great man of prayer, and I think we could emphasize prayer as much as prophecy. And we saw in his last great prayer, there was confession on his part of sin, not only for his people, but for himself. I mentioned the fact that when God had healed me of cancer, that every day I thank him. Every day that I come to, I thank him. I have here before me a prayer that a very fine lawyer, he's a retired lawyer now, down here in one of these coast towns in Southern California. And he's been a very wonderful friend of mine over the years. And he was healed many years ago in a similar way. And being a lawyer goes into more detail than I guess I would go into. And he has a prayer written out here I imagine by now he has it memorized, but he prays this prayer every day. Now, I'm not going to read all of it, but just this excerpt to show how essential confession is in prayer. And right at the very beginning, he says, I thank thee, Father, for giving me another day to live upon this beautiful earth that was created by thee, and the opportunity to live this day as a Christian with a clean mind and a clean heart. I pray, Father, that my thoughts and actions this day will be some improvement over those of the past and will continue to improve in the future so as to be more pleasing and acceptable to thee. But when I fail, Father, as we humans do so frequently, I pray that thou will correct me and, if necessary, chasten me as a father would his own son, as I hopefully pray, Father, that I'll be considered by thee in thy sight as one of thine on this earth. And I pray, Father, that I'll be able to do something that will reflect glory upon thee. Isn't that lovely? I wish I could read all of it to you. But I consider that a very wonderful prayer that this man prays, and he tells me he prays it every day. Well, I pray a prayer every day, but it's much briefer than that. But it's a confession, and then it's a thanksgiving that he's brought me to another day. Well, Daniel was a great man of prayer, and he can instruct you and me in prayer as well as in this matter of prophecy. But I'm afraid that too many people have put the emphasis on prophecy and have ignored the other side. But I call attention to this. Now, Daniel, I think, is just a little dismayed. Probably he is greatly disappointed that he has not received an answer to his prayer. Now, he's going to get an answer. He's had the vision now, that vision which would encourage him, of course. But now there is sent a heavenly messenger. And verse 10, I'm reading of the 10th chapter of Daniel. And behold, a hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. You see, apparently he was just sprawled down on the floor, wherever he was, just sprawled down there, not just on his all fours, but absolutely prone with the earth. The hand now touches him, the hand of a heavenly messenger. And this heavenly messenger apparently was sent by the post-incarnate Christ to answer Daniel's petition. Who could he be? Well, I have suggested Gabriel, since Gabriel had been the messenger on former occasions, and he was the messenger in the New Testament to make the first announcement. It could be here, or it could be just any other angel, but we are going to find out now something about him. Verse 11, he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. You see, Daniel at first was prone upon the ground. He was horizontal with the ground. And now he's brought up on his all fours. Now he's told to stand up. And again, he's reminded of the fact that he's a man greatly beloved. That's a nice reputation to have in heaven, by the way. And so he gets now up on his feet. Now we read verses 12 and 13 in the 10th chapter of Daniel. Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now, for the first time, friends, a veil is lifted momentarily, and it reveals a heavenly warfare that is going on. It reveals that there's a great deal more about this universe that you and I live in than meets the eye. And there's a great deal more than we know today. And we ought not to try to know any more, though, than is revealed. But now let's see what we have here. It opens the unseen world to us. It reveals a conflict going on, the conflict of the ages between good and evil, light and darkness, between God and Satan. And it reveals that there are satanic forces and that there are heavenly forces. And what had happened was this. It seems very simple in a way, and yet it reveals a great deal. This angel says that he had been sent to answer Daniel's prayer. He said, from the very first day that you set your heart to understand and chasten yourself before God, your words were heard, and I was sent out as a messenger to answer. But on the way, my pathway was blocked, and I couldn't get through to you. That's an amazing statement, is it not? Now, doesn't that throw some light on what Paul says to you and me in the 6th chapter of Ephesians, verse 11? Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. Now here's principalities again. These different gradations of demons today. Principalities against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, here again, there is that warfare. Maybe this explains the reason that your prayer and my prayer didn't get answered. Maybe this is the reason that prayer doesn't mean more to you and me than it does, and it ought to mean a great deal more, because actually prayer is fighting a spiritual battle all the time. That's exactly what prayer is. Paul made that very clear, that he was fighting that kind of a battle all the time, and he asks that they join him in prayer. He says in verse 30 of the 15th chapter of Romans, he says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me." Now that word strive, we get our word agony from it. You're to agonize with me in prayer. You know, prayer has been made a sort of a light sort of thing today. Most of the prayers I hear are either very flowery or very theological. And I think we could do without both of them these days. Prayer is agonizing. It's getting through these barriers today that will release spiritual power. And this idea of getting up on Sunday morning and entertaining the Lord with flowery language. And it's all like hipsy-dipsy. It's a nice, sweet little thing, or trying to be very profound and theological. Friends, we're fighting a spiritual battle today. And Daniel now is told by this angel, he said, "Now, when you began to pray, God sent me to answer your prayer. But on the way, the prince of the kingdom of Persia stood against me." Now, who is he? Well, he's one of the minions of Satan, one of the demons. We've said before that Satan has his demons organized. God has his. And they're in gradations, like you'd be in the army. They're generals, and then there are colonels, and then there are lieutenants, and then there are second lieutenants and sergeants and so on. And apparently, this angel was outranked by the chief prince of Persia, and he couldn't get through. So he had to send back for reinforcements. In fact, Michael, the archangel, had to come to open up the way for him. Now, why would the way be blocked? Well, to begin with, Daniel is going to be given information here about the kingdom of Persia, first of all, as well as Greece. We'll see that when we get to chapter 11. And naturally, Satan didn't want that information gotten out. It was secret information, you see. and it was not to be revealed. It was not part of the Pentagon Papers. It was secret, very secret indeed. And he didn't want that information released. And now God wanted the information gotten through to Daniel. And so this angel is outranked, and he has to send for reinforcements. And then we find that reinforcements come, but there's still a problem there. And there had to be some matters settled, we're told. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Apparently, there was a conflict going on there. There needed to be some heavenly forces to help. Why? Well, the fact of the matter is, that's where Daniel is at this particular time. And it was about the time that he had the experience of being put in the lion's den. So you see, the Lord was active on his behalf without Daniel knowing anything about it at all. And we need to recognize today as believers that our warfare really is a spiritual warfare. And it's amazing how many times the devil cuts off, short circuits, our prayer life. And one of the reasons today that public prayer and prayer meetings are so dead is because those that go there just go to say some pretty little prayers, and they do not realize that there's a battle going on, and there's a war that must be won, and they do not realize that at all. Listen to Paul again in 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, beginning at verse 3. Listen to this. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Friends, the Christian life is a bigger undertaking than any of us ever dreamed that it is. Oh, that you and I might recognize how we need the power of the Holy Spirit today in our lives, and how we need the presence of Christ today. There's a spiritual warfare going on, and some apparently don't seem to be conscious of it at all. Now I'm reading verse 14. He says, now I'm come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days. Now, this is the key which opens the door to the understanding of the remainder of the book of Daniel. Now, there are three things for us to keep in mind from here on. It concerns thy people. Now, I think that we can dogmatically and categorically identify the subject of the prophecy as being Israel. Now, how anyone can say anything else is really beyond me. Then, actually, words mean nothing at all. Semantics and syntax are meaningless then. But we know now thy people means Israel. The second thing, in the latter days. Now that places the final fulfillment in the period of the 70th week of Daniel, we've already seen, are the time of the great tribulation period. Now that's important. The latter days places it at the very end. Now, the third thing, the vision is for many days. Now, that emphasizes the fact that a long period of time is involved, not only in fulfillment, but long before the vision will be finalized, so that we're going now to come to two parts of it, the historical, that is, it was prophecy when it's given, it's already been fulfilled, and that which is yet to be fulfilled. Now, will you notice, here we have in this last section, he's terrified by the appearance of this heavenly visitor, and Daniel is further assured and strengthened to understand the scripture. Verse 15 I'm reading, and when he had spoken such words unto me, I set my face toward the ground, and I became dumb. And verse 16, and behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spoke and said unto him that stood before me, O my Lord, by the vision, my sorrows are turned upon me, and I retain no strength. It was having a tremendous effect upon Daniel physically, you can see. Now, verses 17 and 18. For how can the servant of this my Lord talk with this my Lord? For as for me, straightway there remained no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me. Then there came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me. When I hear people tell me today they've had a vision of an angel, and it doesn't seem to have affected them very much, I know by that they really didn't see an angel. It had a tremendous effect upon Daniel. Verse 19, and he said, O man greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be unto thee. Be strong, yea, be strong. When he'd spoken unto me, I was strengthened and said, Let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. Verse 20, then said he, Knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee? And now I will return to fight with the prince of Persia, and when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia will come. In other words, another angel comes that represents Greece, and he's got to get back to the battle, you see, that was going on. Verse 21, but I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth, and there is none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael, your prince. Now the angel turns Daniel to the word of God, and he says here, noted means recorded, that which is recorded in the scripture of truth. In other words, he's not going to hear or see anything that contradicts the word of God. The word of God, friends, is the only weapon available to the child of God for effective use today, and it is called the sword of the Spirit. And some of us just don't know how to use our swords. We ought to have sword drill more often to be able to use the word of God. Now we are coming to chapter 11, and we'll get there next time. And there we are going to see the prophecy concerning Persia, and then that which concerns Greece. And that part of it will be historical. That is, it has already been fulfilled. It was prophetic when it was given to Daniel, but today it's historical. And then we're going to see that which reaches right down to the latter days, to the end time, and that's the time of the great tribulation period. And that does make this one of the most remarkable prophecies here in this chapter 11 and 12 that we're coming to now that we've had in the book of Daniel. So until next time, may God richly bless you, my beloved.
What was prophetic for Daniel is now history for us. We'll see that again on Monday as we continue our study in this amazing prophetic book. We pray this study drives you to get into God's Word on a regular basis yourself, with us here every day and also on your own. God's Word is, as we've learned, the sword of the Spirit and our only weapon that we have to fight the spiritual battle against the world, our own flesh, and the evil one. You know, that fact alone compels me to be in the Scriptures every day, learning and growing stronger in my walk with the Lord. One resource that helps me apply what I'm studying on the Bible Bus is through the Bible's monthly newsletter. The first article is always right from Dr. McGee on the same subject as on the air, but then we offer ways to apply Scripture in a relevant way. You also get a sneak peek into the next book that we'll be studying on the Bible Bus. So it's really a great resource. It's practical and it's personal, and I like to read it on my phone, by the way, so you can get it via email. If you want to sign up to receive it online, go to ttb.org. You can also get it in the mail. Just give us a call at 1-800-65-BIBLE, and we'll get it taken care of. Of course, we've got many other great resources that are available on ttb.org that'll help you in your own walk with the Lord. Most are free to download, and some are available at minimal cost. Again, it's ttb.org. Or just give us a call if we can answer any of your questions about any of our Bible study resources and tools. Our number again, 1-800-65-BIBLE. Now, before we go, I want to invite you to join me this weekend for Dr. McGee's Sunday sermon titled, Will Everyone Ultimately Go to Heaven? Visit ttb.org to listen or to view our list of the stations in your area that carry the Sunday sermon. God promises in Isaiah 55:11 that His Word would accomplish exactly what He intends. We hope our study today impacts your life as He intends to. There's a way that you can help that, too. For next time, as you hear our opening music, Why don't you ask God to help you hear and obey what He wants to teach you? Maybe even read the passage ahead of time. Come ready to hear from God, and you'll be ready to receive His best. Our tour of the Bible, chapter by chapter, continues next week. I'm Steve Schwetz, and I'll be here on the Bible Bus. And hey, I'll save you a seat.
Sin hath left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
We're so grateful for the faithful and generous support of Through the Bible's partners, who are being used by God to take the whole Word to the whole world.